full of action and things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love it because it's a really fast-acting gospel in the Bible. And today we're looking at Mark chapter 2 and the first verses in that chapter. And it's all about Jesus forgiving sins. Before Jesus was born, do you remember the angel came to Joseph and in a dream told Joseph that Jesus had got to be called Jesus, wasn't to be named after another man. Jesus was to be called Jesus. And Jesus means saviour. And the angel told Joseph he was to be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that lovely? And he did that, of course, by dying on the cross, taking God's punishment for our sin, and we can trust him and find him as our saviour. We've taught the children the story, which is the one we're going to consider this morning, how that the man had his sins forgiven before he got made better. And Jesus' priority was to forgive his sins before even he healed him. And that's why he came to earth, to be the saviour. He came to take away the sins of the world. So, in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, if you're following it in the Chapel Bible, it's page 707, we have this account. And verse 1 says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. The four men knew that Jesus could help their friend. But everyone else in Capernaum wanted to see Jesus and to hear Jesus' teaching and to be blessed by him as well. And it seems the whole town had majored in on the one house where Jesus was. And what did Jesus do? He preached the word to them. He would have explained the Old Testament scriptures, what they'd have said about a Messiah coming, the Christ, the Saviour. And he was, in fact, that one, the saviour of the world that had come to them. So verse three. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. They were good friends, weren't they? They went to a lot of trouble because of their interest and care and love and concern for their friend. They knew of Jesus' power. They'd obviously seen it before. This wasn't the first time Jesus had been in Capernaum. And they wanted their friend to know that too. I wonder if it was a friend that introduced us to Jesus or introduced us to church so that we could learn about Jesus. If so, we should be so grateful for that one, shouldn't we? Maybe we've got a friend or family member that wants to be introduced to Jesus, and we should do our part and help them find Jesus themselves. Back to our story, they'd got an enormous task. The house was heaving, no room in it. What should they do? And so they used their ingenuity, full marks for ingenuity. Verse 4, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. Wow. The friends went to great extremes to get their friend to Jesus. And God went to great lengths too in sending his Son into the world for us as our Saviour. John 3:16, perhaps the best known verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God's great love for us caused him to do a great thing, to send his Son into the world as our Saviour. Back to our story in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I like the fact that when the man was lowered down into the room, it doesn't say Jesus looked at him. Jesus looked up at the hole and saw four faces. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus instantly saw and appreciated the faith of those four friends. The total belief that Jesus would bless their friend and help them. Their belief in Jesus and his power and who he was. And it was so strong that they'd been prepared not only to carry their friend down the street, but also to partly destroy a property where Jesus was and lower him in front of Jesus. The Bible tells us, of course, that we need faith to come to God, to come to Jesus. It's by faith that we're saved. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." God's grace is God's gift to us that we don't deserve. And we need faith, we need belief, we need trust, and that's all we need to come to Jesus. That step of faith, simply acknowledging that we're sinful, thanking Jesus in a prayer that he came and paid the price for us, and asking him to come into our life as our Saviour and as our Lord, and forgiving our sins. But as we said, Jesus didn't do this immediately. It probably surprised the man that he was having his sins forgiven. It probably surprised the men looking through the roof, the friends, because Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And that was Jesus confirming who he was. It confirmed who he was, especially to the Jewish leaders, those people, the religious people that were there, because they were concerned about this. They were cross about this. Verse 6, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They were right. Only God can forgive sins. We can forgive one another, but only God can forgive sins and give us eternal life. And they wouldn't accept that Jesus was that Messiah, the Son of God, who'd come as Saviour. But it's interesting, although they were religious leaders, they didn't speak up and comment. They were just thinking it. And the others didn't know that they were thinking this to themselves. They didn't reveal the fact that they hadn't got faith, except, of course, the Lord knew. Verse 8, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" Being God, he knew their thoughts. And because having sin isn't a visible thing, or forgiving sin isn't a visible thing, the man didn't change, nothing happened when Jesus forgave his sin, apparently and outwardly, for others to see. So to prove that Jesus was God, to prove that he could and had forgiven the man's sins, he did something they could see. And he said in verse 9, "Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'?" And by healing the man and allowing him to walk, Jesus demonstrated he was God's son, that he could heal and he could also forgive sins. Verse 10, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. We're not told how the teachers of the law reacted to that. A few verses later, we find them still criticizing Jesus and not wanting to admit that Jesus was the Son of God. But the man's friends and lots of the others there praised God. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." They'd seen a spectacular healing. Jesus had confirmed he was the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God who could forgive sins. The Apostle Paul later said, "Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. And as God's Son, having no sin himself, he could die and take the price that we deserved." A song we sometimes sing includes these words: "Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God, the just, is satisfied to look on him and pardon me." God's salvation to us, sending his Son into the world as our Saviour. Those in Capernaum that day showed mixed reactions. Some praised and believed in Jesus, put their faith in him for their forgiveness. Others may have acknowledged who he was, but didn't put their faith in Jesus. They probably knew they could, possibly knew they should, but they didn't take that step of trusting Jesus. And the teachers of the law might have seen Jesus as a bit of a threat, someone who, when trusting him, would change the course of their lives. And they didn't want that. They wanted to stay as they were. And we today react in the same way. But it's only those that put their faith and trust in him have their sins forgiven and the promise of eternity in heaven and avoiding going to eternity in hell. So, who are we like? What reaction is ours? How will we react to Jesus Let's accept his forgiveness and trust him as our saviour. And if we've done that, what about our friends? Are there friends and family that we need to witness to bring them to faith in Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. We thank you that he was your Son, he was the promised Messiah, and as such, he could do these wonderful miracles and he could forgive sin. We thank you that he did die because the sinless Saviour died, we read. We thank you that he gave himself for us, taking our place so we can avoid the punishment we deserve. We praise you that he is alive today and in glory, and one day he will come for us and we'll spend eternity with him. Help us to ensure we have put our trust in him and we are going to heaven. Help us to come and confess and thank the Lord for his death in our place and ask him into our lives and forgive us. And help us to be good friends to others. Help us to show that we have faith in Jesus and use us so that others can come into that blessing, we pray. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.